WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now the writer and filmmaker John Waters, best known for his cult film classics like Pink Flamingos, Hairspray, Cry Baby, and Cecil B. Demented. Well, 2 years ago, at age 66, Waters decided to hitchhike across America from his home in Baltimore to his other home in San Francisco. His new book, Carsick, tells the story of this unlikely adventure and also includes two novellas, fictional best and worst scenarios of how the trip could have gone. The full title is Carsick, John Waters Hitchhikes Across America. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. And I had a car service bring me here. It was very luxurious.
You didn't have
I didn't have to hitchhike. No.
Of all the risky and age inappropriate things you could have done to have an adventure, why hitchhike across America?
Well, everybody has a midlife crisis. I thought it was more flattering than buying a sports car.
Did you do much hitchhiking earlier in your life? Were you a hitchhiking hippie in the 60s?
Very much so, yeah. A hitchhiking yippie, though, not a hippie. I was a yippie. But, yeah, I hitchhiked a lot from Baltimore to Provincetown and from San Francisco to L.A. a lot, but never this far from Baltimore to San Francisco. And certainly it's a big difference of hitchhiking when you're 18 and when you're 66.
For the younger members of the audience who may never have heard the word yippie, even if they've heard the word hippie, you want to make the distinction?
Well, a yippie was more political. Yippie followed Abbie Hoffman and Jerry Rubin, and it was ripping off things, was kind of thought of as politically correct, if you can imagine such a ludicrous idea. Abbie Hoffman's big selling book was called Steal This Book.
And your movies are alternative, but not really hippie, and yet you're that age. So,
well, my films were made to offend hippies, but I was a hippie. So basically, Divine was thought up to be Godzilla and Jane Mansfield put together to scare hippies. And it worked.
Why?
Because hippies, they laughed too. They liked it. They wanted to be astonished. It was just punk rock before there was such a thing.
Really. And offended?
They wanted to be surprised. I don't think they were ever offended. My audience that has been so loyal and great through all the years, they want me to surprise them. They're not offended. Because I'm not mean. I only make fun of things I like.
So, listeners, who wants to talk to John Waters about hitchhiking across America? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And one of the ongoing storylines in the real part of the book is that you're not just any hitchhiker. You are John Waters. But how often did people recognize you just seeing you on the side of the road with your thumb out?
The only time that happened where they immediately stopped was the first ride. But I would say a third of them drove past me and said, wait a minute, was that John Waters? And then they argued whether it was, drove back and picked me up.
And that happened, as you chronicled, with the band? What was that?
No,
band?
It happened with the band. It happened with the Kansas couple. It happened a couple times. The other ones came over. They thought I was a homeless. Most people thought I was a homeless person, which I sort of was. And they would come over to give me money and then recognize me and start laughing or screaming. But many did not recognize me. And when I would try to tell them who I was, they would look at me as if I had just said I was Henry Kissinger or Rockefeller, like crazy. So I didn't push it.
Because you're very famous, but you're not as famous as, say, Henry Kissinger or George Clooney. Do you feel insulted when you're not recognized?
No, not at all. But what I feel insulted is, and when people treat you kind of shabbily when you're not, they don't recognize you, and suddenly in the middle of it they do recognize, and then they treat you nicely, I mean back to those people.
That's
They're
a
the
natural.
Only people that I am crummy to.
That's a natural sociological experiment.
Yeah, well,
right
I hate
there,
that.
Isn't it?
I hate that. Or if people, only time I'm ever mean to the press is if they ask me if I have a hobby. That's the most insulting question you could possibly ask me.
What does that even mean?
Well, do I look like a dabbler?
So how would you explain who you are to people who give you a blank look, even when you say, oh, I'm John Waters, Pink Flamingos, polyester, whatever?
No, I don't give my whole resume. If I want them, I don't care. On this trip, if they
didn't recognize me,
it was fine. Only time it helped is when I was standing there for 10 hours. Then I was featuring my mustache. I didn't get so bad to have a sign saying, I made hairspray, but I was close.
You ever say, they call me the Pope of Trash?
No, I don't say that kind of stuff. I just say, generally, I'm a film director and I made a movie called Hairspray. I think that's the one they might have the most chance of hearing from. But during the ride, I didn't always say that. A lot of people ask me. I said I would be, I'm writing a book.
Like, what do you do?
Yeah, if they ask me, I tell them, yeah.
You say, I'm a filmmaker?
And most of them just said, that's nice. They were not that interested.
And they said, oh, what movies did you make?
Some. But then they didn't go into celebrity questions. They didn't go into the kind of gossip that some people, you might think they were not interested in that, which was kind of refreshing.
The media is interested in that.
I'm interested in what their lives were when I'm hitchhiking. But a hitchhiker's job is to talk.
John Waters, his book, Carsick, John Waters, Hitchhikes Across America. You're going to read something for us.
Well, this kind of sets up the very beginning before I left. All right. Going My Way. That's the title of it. I don't think I actually ever said that to anyone. Going My Way. I haven't felt this excited or scared for a long time. Maybe ever. I just signed a book deal resulting from the shortest pitch ever. I, John Waters, will hitchhike alone from the front of my Baltimore house to my co-op apartment in San Francisco and see what happens. Simple, huh? Am I nuts? Bridget Berlin, Andy Warhol's one-time most dangerous and glamorous 60s superstar, recently said to me, how can I be bad at 70? And she's got a point. I mean, yes, I'm in between pictures, as they say in Hollywood, but long ago I realized as a so-called cult film director, not only did I need a plan B that was just as important to me as movie making, I needed a plan C, D, and E. But plan H for hitchhike? I'm 66 years old, for Christ's sake.
Awesome. And I can relate, I think, the behind-the-scenes conversation that you had with my producer about what to read, which was that was almost like the only thing you could find in the book that wasn't going to get us shut down by the FCC.
Well, let's put it this way. When you are hitchhiking, you cuss a lot because you wait for a long time. And you start to begin when cars go past you. You try to think of interesting insults to mumble under your breath to keep you from going crazy because the longest time I waited was 10 hours once.
It's a long time.
Yes.
So the book
is even longer alongside the road.
Two novellas, fiction, about a worst-case scenario
for
this trip.
The very best. First, I do the best.
And the best-case scenario. And then the actual thing. Did you write the two novellas before the actual trip?
Oh, yeah. I don't think I could have ever done it. Because once you do the trip, you know what it's like.
Yeah.
This was my fantasy. And even in the worst, I never imagined waiting all the rides. But, of course, I get murdered in the worst, the last chapter, which I wrote 2 days before I left to do it for real.
And how could you not write that chapter?
Yeah.
That's what every hitchhiker fears the most.
Exactly. And in the good chapters, of course, I have sex. I have all sorts of ludicrous things happen to me. I join a carnival. I get to have sex in a demolition derby. You know.
In one of your fictional worst-case scenarios, you're picked up by this mother and daughter who do recognize you, but they don't like your work. They don't like you because of your work.
Well, they punish me for something that I wrote in my book Shock Value about a true crime by a woman named Gertrude Banaszewski, and who was a very notorious murderess in Indianapolis. And I'm not going to give away the plot, but let's just say they punish me for writing that. And I have to eat my words a little. Somebody picks me up who I was writing in jest, and because it was about them, they took it very seriously and punished me.
I'll ask you a political incorrectness question about that story. Why did you make one of those mean women or men a cross-dresser?
Well, it's not a transsexual. It is a drag queen. It is a man that is, and I know it's very touchy these days. You know, you say transgendered men, you don't, and I never say it is the word you're not allowed to say anymore that begins with a T. This is a scary man dressed like her to torture me.
Guess what? It's reunion time, because here is Michael in Brooklyn, who picked you up from the band Here We Go Magic.
Oh, wow.
Michael, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Michael. How are you? That's a surprise.
Hey, John. How are you holding up?
I'm well. Today's the book comes out today, so how are you holding
today's
up?
Today's release day?
Yeah, today's the pub day. Yep.
Amazing. Congratulations.
You're in it, you know.
Yeah, I sent him the book. You got it, right?
Yeah, I've got it here.
Did you like your chapter?
What's that?
Did you like your chapter?
You know, I was amazed by it because it had every single detail of what happened, and it made me think, maybe, were you recording the whole thing?
No, I wasn't, but when I got out, I wrote down everything, you know?
Unbelievable.
And
it was really nice.
It was really sweet. These people picked me up. Where did you pick me up? Where was it?
Eastern Ohio, I think.
Yeah, where I had been stuck for really a long time. And they drove past me and argued if it was me. And one said it couldn't be me because I would never wear that hat.
Yeah, Michael, tell us that story. You passed John Waters by the side of the road and what?
Yeah, it was on an on-ramp coming out of a Days Inn. I think we stayed at this. It was like the only room that we could find. We were driving all night trying to find a room because there was just, for whatever reason, there was nothing. It was all gas workers staying.
And what did you have, like a van for a whole band?
Yeah, we had a 15-passenger van for our band.
How many of you in it?
Six.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, so you passed John Waters on the side of the road, and?
Well, so we passed a guy with a sign that said to the end of I-70, and as we were passing, our bass player, Jen, was screaming, oh, let's pick him up, because she always wants to pick up any hitchhiker. And we always ignore her. And so we just kept driving. But then as we passed, our sound guy, Matt Littlejohn, he looked out the window and he just said, oh, that's John Waters. And
he knew.
So then we were already on the highway at that point. And then we were just kind of arguing about whether or not that could be possibly John Waters in the middle of rural Ohio. And so we had to just turn around and see. And so then we turned around and pulled up to him, and I think we opened the door. I asked where he was coming from, and he said Baltimore, and so then we knew.
And then later, I said, one of you said it couldn't be him. He'd never wear that hat, and I did have a baseball hat on, but if you had looked closely, it had the logo for the movie Scum of the Earth. You would have known that was me, which I learned was really a bad outfit to wear when you're trying to get a ride.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Michael, thank you for chiming in.
Thank you again, Michael, for picking me up.
Michael from Here We Go Magic. Good luck out there.
Of course. Good to hear your voice again, John.
Thank you so much. We had a great time with you. Thank you.
Tom in Morristown. You're on WNYC with John Waters. Hello.
Hey, how are you? Nice to talk to you, John.
Nice to talk to you.
I
guess. We'll see. You could insult me now.
I'm curious about, hate to ask you about kitsch and camp and all that, but on your trip, did you detect a change in America? This post-recession America, the rise of the Walmart, the replacement of these kind of the weird communities with this kind of like isolated blandness. When I drive around, I get the sense that the communities that you could depict are kind of disappearing. And I wonder if you detected that or...
I think as you go west, there's more local color. But certainly, yes, I'm even not hitchhiking, even when I do my speaking tours everywhere. From the airport to wherever you're going, it's the same. It's the same stores. It's everywhere is the same. But that's good in some ways because you can be hip and live everywhere. You don't have to move to New York anymore. You don't have to move to L.A. Everywhere is cool now. So you can make a cool happening and music and art and everything in the city you live in.
But how could everything be cool if everything's the same? Because to me, one of the themes of your book is that from Baltimore to San Francisco, a lot of America looks the same, and sometimes that's depressing.
To me, but the parts I remember of going through Kansas, this incredible remoteness of going through parts of Utah and everything, they certainly didn't look like anywhere else. And I would go into the first town in Nevada that had like a thing that said you could live there for free in some gambling place if you gambled. I thought, what could that be like? I want to go there on a vacation. Truckers free. It's free what? You can just live there as long as you gamble? But there's some good bars there.
Where did you sleep?
I always tried to, that was the hard thing, the end of each day, ending at an entrance ramp that had a motel. And I made a sign once that said next motel, and I thought, that looks like a hooker. So I changed it to hotel, and it seemed less trashy, even though, believe me, there were no hotels. But that one letter does have a tone that sets the difference. I was a little old to be a hooker.
John Waters, his new book, Car Sick, John Waters Hitchhikes Across America, which if you're just joining, he really did 2 years ago at the age of 66 before he wrote this book. Russell in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with John Waters. Hi, Russell.
Hi, how are you? You know, I'd like to ask you, what was your interactions with the police, law enforcement?
The police were great. One gave me a ride. A couple...
I can do that?
Yeah. I don't know if they could. He did. He was great. And he said he would have taken me further. Then he came back to check on me later, and I hadn't gotten a ride. And he said, shake the sign. I was mortified. I was getting hitchhiking abuse from a very nice policeman. And another one pulled and said, you know, they checked my warrants and stuff. But mostly I always stood on the entrance ramp before the sign that said it's illegal to go down on the highway, right before it. And cops saw me all the time. They never pulled over except twice, and one gave me a ride. So the police were great. They didn't hassle me.
I noticed, though, that in the worst-case scenarios fiction part of the book, you were killed by a criminal, but you were also hassled by the police. So you got it from the bad guys and by law enforcement.
I was hassled. In the imagining the worst, I'm arrested. I'm entrapped in a men's room for sodomy, which is still illegal in Kansas for men, women, straight, and gay. It is still illegal. So my nightmare of just innocently going in a bathroom and being set up, and I go to this horrible jail in Bunker Hill, where there really is a little jail where tourists are let in to look at me. And yeah, I'm the worst thing happens. I have to go around to and pick up horrible things at rest stops to my community service. Yeah.
George on the Upper West Side, it sounds like he's always wanted to tell you something. George, hi.
Good morning, Brian.
Hi.
Mr. Walters, I'm long familiar with your movies. First one I did see, or attempted to see, was Pink Flamingos. Ironically, I'm now married almost 40 years to the same woman, and it was one of my very first dates with her. We went to the Village Cinema, which doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I know where it was.
But it... it showed Fantasia. We went to see that. And the show after that was yours.
That was probably the midnight show. Yeah.
That was the midnight show. And
you saw Fantasia and Pink Flamingos back to
back. Followed
by
Pink Flamingos, which we had no idea we were going to be getting into. And my wife was, to put it quite mildly, outraged at Divine. And I presume, since I mentioned it to the screener, that I can even say that the scene which finally undid her and just said, we're leaving here, although we have laughed about it ever since, was when Divine is in the supermarket and is viewing the various meats and deciding how he is going to steal them.
Right.
And, of course, slides them between the legs. And that
was a good thing she didn't stay longer, because it gets worse.
Well, that was just too much for her at the time. We have laughed hysterically at it afterward. We always joke about Pink Flamingos. We've seen any one of a number of plays in your other movies since. But that always has a special place for me.
Well, I think you should try shoplifting with me between your legs. Just try it once.
Well,
if you get caught,
right.
They'll just say you're crazy.
With your wife.
Yeah. I will tell you one hitchhiking story, too. I was not a big hitchhiker. I did often on Martha's Vineyard in Nantucket, and everybody always picked you up because they figured there was no way to get off the island anyway.
Right, and also that's elitist hitchhiking in Nantucket.
Well, the other thing was I was hitchhiking in college, and I went into the Berkshires going up to visit a friend at college in Vermont. And I stood underneath the sign, or just past the sign at the entrance, and a cop threw me off. And by throwing me off, it happened that a person who had agreed to give me a ride up there, on the way back, was passing on a different road and saw me and stopped, and I got my ride into Boston.
See,
it was quite amazing.
You take any ride you can get.
Exactly.
George, thanks a lot.
Okay.
I appreciate the call. Could you see turning one or both of the novellas about the made-up versions of this trip into a movie?
Sure, because they're like my early movies. Very much they are. But I can visualize. I mean, I have Thumbelina the stripper that every time she drops something, then you can look down her blouse. I love Thumbelina. I want to see her. But yes, I think the movie could be me hitchhiking for real, and while I'm waiting, imagining the good and the bad.
So John Waters now has written Carsick, John Waters Hitchhikes Across America, and he will be reading from Carsick. If you want to see his mustache and the rest of him, tonight at 7 at the East 17th Street Barnes & Noble in Manhattan, tonight at 7, and then tomorrow night at 7 at the main branch of the New York Public Library.
Wow, double feature.
Double feature on two consecutive nights. John Waters Hitchhikes Across America. What fun. Thank you. And we're going to let your friend from the band there, Here We Go Magic, have the last word in song.
Good.
So thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you.